Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz here on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Pleased to have join me on the phone right now, Shirley Rogers, who is president of the Lansing School Board. Good evening, Shirley. How are you?
Well, good evening, Cheryl. I'm just fine. How are you?
Very good. I'm so glad you could spend some time with me this evening. And boy, there's been some headlines this week, and I wanted to come to the source and try to sort some of these out and get your perspective as we worked through. The headlines in the Lansing State Journal, the school board was said that Dr. T.C. Wallace, the superintendent of the Lansing schools, had exceeded his authority. How did we get to the point where these charges came up against him? And where do we go?
Well, I think the issue arose last year in particular when I, as chair of the personnel committee, in dealing with board policies, wanted to have conversation about the fact that the cabinet contracts had not been brought before the board for approval as required by our board policy. And so there have been some conversations that have gone on, and it turns out that Dr. Wallace issued new contracts to those staff members with an effective date of July 1, 2010, and an ending date of June 30th, 2013. And even after it was called to his attention about the board policy, the contracts were not brought before the board as required.
Okay, now that seems kind of open and shut. I mean, that seems kind of a logical thing. How have the waters gotten muddied in this process? Outside legal opinion was brought in. And why don't you tell us about that process?
Well, the district has a counsel, an in-house counsel, who wrote a memo to the superintendent that called into question the board's authority. And at a meeting in June of last year, the board voted to have the issues reviewed by outside counsel, and an opinion was issued. And so some of what we're dealing with now is related to that original opinion that was issued in August of last year.
Because it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that the opinions were different.
And I don't know how I say that the first memo was necessarily an opinion.
Okay.
There is
a difference of opinion there, in the non-legal sense.
And absolutely. And when you issue a legal opinion, typically an attorney will cite the governing law, any court opinions, and it absolutely is defined as a legal opinion. The memo that was addressed to Dr. Wallace from the in-house counsel was not provided as an opinion to the board. It was a memo written to Dr. Wallace.
And just to clarify, so that memo to Dr. Wallace from the in-house counsel had different view than the outside counsel brought in on the matter at hand on the contracts coming before the board.
And the memo is what prompted the board to pass a motion to seek outside counsel.
I'm glad we got that clarified. I think I understand that, and I think my viewers certainly do now as well. Where does that part of it go from here? The part of it where does that part go?
Well, right now, at its meeting on March 17th, the board passed a resolution specifically related to the cabinet contracts. And in that resolution, they are required by law to get notice. We had to indicate why we wanted to take a look at their contract. They have to indicate to us whether or not they would like to have a hearing with the board individually. They have to indicate whether or not they want their hearing to be open or closed as required by the Open Meetings Act. And so right now, I am waiting on Dr. Wallace to provide me the information on the cabinet and whether or not anyone wants a hearing and whether or not they want the hearing open or closed.
Now, these issues are causing some divide in the school board. A couple of members of the school board are asking to see minutes from a meeting about when some of these decisions were made. Is this causing serious problems within the board?
I don't agree that it's necessarily causing serious problems. You obviously have some people on the board who did not vote in favor of us seeking outside counsel. And so they're, raising questions, is consistent with that. I don't look at it as anything that means we can't work together as a board. When you have 9 people coming from 9 different perspectives, you're not always going to agree on everything, and you're going to have a difference of opinion on some things. The bottom line is a majority of the board voted to take the action that we took. And as the president of the board, it's my job to follow the authority that is given by the board. There have been some questions about the charge letter. Well, the charges came about from conversations that occurred in closed session. Some people may say I didn't have the authority to send the letter, but the other part of my job is to make sure that if the board is wanting to have any kinds of conversations, it is executed in a way that protects the board and protects the district so that any action that the board takes or doesn't take, at least the items are out there for the board to make whatever decision it wants to make.
One of the other issues that came up in this article and has been discussed is moving Superintendent Wallace's annual evaluation, which was going to come up in June, to this month. What was the need for that, or the thought behind the possibility of moving that evaluation up?
Well, as we've been going through our policies, we quite frankly have a policy related to the superintendent's evaluation that says it should occur in February. And since I've been on the board, his initial evaluation occurred in January, and then a second evaluation occurred in June. And then since then, it's kind of occurred in June. But as we're looking at policies, well, if we want to, say to our students, for example, that we expect you to follow the rules of behavior, well, then the board needs to follow its own rules. And so it's an effort to bring things back in line, but then his contract says that we have to evaluate him by June. And so we're just trying to get ourselves back in sync in terms of what we ought to be doing.
Back in compliance.
Absolutely.
Well, how serious are these charges or complaints against the superintendent?
Well, from my personal perspective, not speaking as the board president, and anybody that has seen me operate or knows me understands that I believe that if you have rules, you follow them. If you don't want to follow those rules, then you change them. Or you don't have rules. And so it isn't a question of, for me, having issues other than we have rules, they're not being followed, and I think that one should follow the rules. It goes back to holding students accountable for their behavior. We have a code of conduct that's based on board policy. We expect the students to follow the rules. And I don't know how we as adults expect our students to follow rules when it doesn't appear that we adults are following our own rules. And so it's a fairness and equity issue for me.
Well, Shirley, I think you couldn't have put it more succinctly. So I sure appreciate your time and your perspective on this evening. We'll look forward to talking to you. There's a meeting coming up on the 14th of the school board. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And we will be there, and we'll follow this along as the process moves. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Shirley.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you.
Thank you. Shirley Rogers, who is president of the Lansing School Board, will be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.